I've got a gold nugget I want to share with you. I found it in Luke chapter 13. In verse 6, the Bible says that Jesus spake this parable. A parable is something that illustrates a parallel truth. He said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then he said to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and found none. Cut it down. And he answered, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, cut it down. What we have here, a tree, a fruitless tree. And because of this, it was destined to be cut down. But I see here, someone interceded for this tree. The caretaker of the vineyard said, wait a little longer. Let me work with this tree. Let me dig around the tree. Let me give it some nourishment. And then, if it bear not fruit, cut it down. Many of us, no doubt, was marked for destruction. But because someone interceded for us, someone said, Lord, don't do it now. Let me pray for this man. Let me work with this person. Let me break up the fallow ground. Let me feed him some of the word. There's many of us that's standing today because someone interceded for us. It could be the pastor. It could be your grandmother, your mother, your father. It could be a friend that saw that destruction was headed your way, and they interceded for you. They said, oh God, let's give it another chance. Let me talk with him. Let me pray with him and see what happens. This tree was given a second chance. How much more shall God not give you a second chance when he hears the prayers of your friends and relatives and church members? Surely God will answer their prayers. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair and lean in. Today, I'm going to be speaking on the pattern of Pentecost in the New Testament church. In the last two lessons, we talked about the moving of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament church. In the next few lessons, I'll be speaking about the moving of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church since the day of Pentecost. I'm going to read part of Acts chapter 2 as my background text. It reads like this: when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came and were confounded, amazed, and marveled, and said one to another, are not all these which speak Galileans? How do we hear every man in our own tongue? They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? But then there were others that mocked and said, these men were full of new wine. I want to go back to verse 12, where they said, "What meaneth this?" Peter stood up and lifted up his voice and said unto them, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved among you, him you have taken, and by wicked hands crucified and slain, whom God raised up, and we are the witnesses. And Jesus, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God should call." And with many other words did he exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." I like what Peter told them. He explained what it was and said that Jesus, after he having received the promise of the Father himself, had showed forth this, and then he told them this promise that Jesus himself had received. "The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God should call." These are the words of God written by the hand of Luke. God in this word tells us that this promise of the Father, this that was spoken of by the prophet Joel, is to you and your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God should call. I read in Isaiah chapter 14 where God said, "Surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. The Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it?" Jesus told the sisters of Lazarus, "If you would believe, you would see the glory of God." This that was spoken of by the prophet Joel comes by faith. It comes by believing, not achieving. The Bible tells us that it is by faith that we receive the Holy Spirit of promise. These passages in the second chapter of the book of Acts introduces God's people to a new dispensation, a new era, a new age, the church age, in which we live right here in the latter days. This blessing was for the latter days, and we are indeed living in the latter days. It was prepared on a certain date, at a certain time, in a certain place, before the foundations of the earth. It was foretold by the prophets. Joel prophesied of this outpouring of the Spirit, and he lived 800 years before Christ. It is a marvelous gift of the Father. In John chapter 16, Jesus told his listeners, "It's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send him unto you, that he may abide with you forever." This is the pattern. It started on the day of Pentecost. After Pentecost, the Spirit of God was poured out without measure. The breath became a mighty wind. The small brook became a great river. The energizing presence of God became incarnate in human beings. Pentecost is a pattern, a model to which God will reproduce again and again and again. It is a scientific fact, a verifiable fact, that under the same conditions, you get the same results. So it is a fact in the experience of the people of God, given the same condition, the same results will be obtained. The promise of the Father, which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, is repeated again and again. In the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, after having prayed before God, there is another infilling of the Holy Spirit. And then I turn to chapter 8 of the book of Acts, and there in Samaria, I find that many were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I turn to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, and there is a Gentile being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. When I say evidence, that's how Peter and his friends knew that they had received the same outpouring and infilling as they had received. To Peter and his friends, this was the evidence that they had been filled with the Spirit. We know that Peter and his friends did not see the Holy Spirit entering into these people to fill them, but they did see and hear the same thing that they saw and heard on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Then I turn to chapter 19, and I find there in Ephesus men that were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And it has continued through the centuries. There is no generation but that somewhere there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Joel prophesied.